good to be here on a Thursday. Hey, everybody out there. My show is normally from 10 a.m. till 12 noon, but today we're on from 12 to 2. So we did just a little bit of switch around just for today, but I'm kind of glad that we're doing the lunchtime. I got to stay extra long at my home, do a little bit of work on my side hustle. My side hustle being my lawyering hustle. So I hope you all are ready for a fantastic lunch show. We'll be on from 12 to 1, just doing our regular talk, and I'm going to give you all the tea about what's going on in Kanye world and Kimye world, and then we're going to talk a little bit about some other gossip that's out there in these streets. But we have two special guests today. Today, out here across the state, I believe across the country, people are in the middle of the primary season. So they're voting for a Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, whomever. So people are now in the early voting stages. So the actual election for primaries is on March the 1st. That's next week. So today, I'm fortunate enough to have two of the candidates that are running for the 30-year-long held seat belonging to Garnett Coleman, who abruptly resigned last week before his term expired. So I'll be interviewing first Danielle Best, who happens to be my sorority sister in Alpha Kappa Alpha. And then second, I'll be interviewing Jelanda Jones, who's also my sister in Alpha Kappa Alpha. Sorry for you others out there. I don't know y'all well enough to be asking you to come on my show. So I'll have Jelanda in the studio with me on the second hour of the show, and I will have Danielle Best calling in during that second hour. But we're going to close out with Jelanda, and we're going to open up with Danielle Best. So I hope you're poised and ready for a great show. Hey, my headphones, please.
You know, I smile.
Let's see. I forgot Brighter Day. I guess they're asking me for my first song that we're going to play out the gate. Should it be what? Stomp, Brighter Day, or what? I Smile. I Smile. Let's play I Smile. Don't y'all like that? It's a little bit gray today. I thought it was about to start getting warmer, but it's not. It's a lot colder outside than I expected. It's so ice cold. I was like, golly. But it was good to be at my house for longer than expected. You know, I got a chance to just let's see. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, only on my left side. Hold on. Let's see. We're doing our microphone check, my mic check and our headphone check.
Yeah, usually it's mostly the left side.
Mostly the left. So the left, I got a lot of power. I got light power on the right. I can survive with that. So today, our runner show, I know you all have been watching the war. You know, I have a lot to say about that. You know, our show goes live in 2 minutes. I got 2 minutes to chat. But, you know, we have, as the United States of America, we are constantly telling other democratic countries how to run their country. So if you all, I'm going to give you just a little bit of background for all of this Russian Putin business. And you have to be aware that Putin was a special agent for the KGB, okay, 30 years ago. He's been the dictator over Russia for 22 years. But before that, he was working for the KGB. He has always hated the West. He has always hated the United States of America specifically. So it was baffling to me, you know, how when we had a Republican president, Donald Trump, served the last term, how Republicans, even though we're sitting on the Fox 26, remember I was on Fox 26 News on a show called What's Your Point for 3 years, and they had liberals, conservatives, and then, you know, the middle of the roaders. So they considered me a progressive. I'm not that progressive, though. I'm just progressive in the way I talk, not in the way I think. So my views are very conservative. But, you know, on the stage, in the run-up to the election, the Republican pundits that were on the stage with me, I'm not going to call their names. I'll do that when I'm actually live on the air. But I used to sit between two Republicans. And when Donald Trump was talking all that mess about how, what's wrong with Putin? What's wrong with Putin? I don't see anything was wrong with Russia. What's wrong with Russia? If you don't remember Ronald Reagan, you may not be old enough to remember when the Reagan presidency. Ronald Reagan, before his attempted assassination after he got shot, he was the chief proponent to say, we will tear you down, Russia. We will bring you down to your knees. And so Ronald Reagan and all those Republicans were like, yes, Reagan, we're going to tear Russia down, tear them up. Well, the Soviet Union, remember the USSR? Y'all probably don't remember that. You probably didn't really pay attention to world government. But the United Soviet Socialist Republic, okay, that's what it stood for. Well, at the end of the Cold War, it was broken apart, all right? If you know anything about geography, if you look at the map of Ukraine and Bangalore and Russia, they all butt up against each other, just like the United States and Canada. Okay. So when you have a sister country invade you like that, they're right on your shores. That's not even at your shores. That's not a waterway. It's straight through your land. But whenever the USSR broke apart as a result of former President Boris Yeltsin, he was the dictator. Okay. Well, we're about to go on the air.
We're
going to
play Ice
Mountain first. Okay, so Boris Yeltsin, I don't know if you remember him. He was the leader of Russia, of the Soviet Union, who had the big red birthmark on his forehead. Balding man, kind of pudgy. So Boris Yeltsin was the one in the Soviet Union who said, I will stop all of this Soviet Union totalitarianism and give these other countries, other territories their independence. And I will break bread and come up with a peace agreement so we could all live civilly from the west to the east, north, and south. So Boris Yeltsin signed that peace agreement with the former president of the United States at the time. I think it was Reagan. I'm not sure if it was Reagan. But they the leader of the British Parliament, the U.S., and the Soviet Union, we all signed the agreement. Well, that was at the time when Vladimir Putin was working for the KGB. So he didn't really like that. He felt like his country was essentially punking out. Well, it wasn't a punk out, but what happened was the Soviet Union was so massively large. Remember, it was a socialist government. Everybody's broke. Everybody the government has equal. Well, when that broke apart, when the USSR broke apart, then you had Bangalore. They got their own country. Belarus got their own country. Ukraine got their own. Everybody got their own independent states, okay? Their own sovereign nation states. Well, Putin was like a baby Hitler. Hitler, I'm giving you the background because I'm trying to catch you up so that when I talk about this on the show that y'all already kind of know where I'm going with this. So Putin is the same as Hitler. Hitler was pissed that after World War I, his country lost massively and Germany was then broken apart. And what happened was the Western government, the United States, the British, and all the other democratic countries, they all decided to take a part of Germany. Okay? So they took back Poland, because remember, Hitler rolled over Poland just like Putin is rolling over the Ukraine, baby. The same thing happened. And then what did Hitler do? Hitler rolled on into Paris, France. Yes, he did. He took over the French government. He took over the Louvre Museum. He tried to raid the Louvre. But days before they heard that Hitler was about to roll in and steal everything, they rolled all of the ancient artworks and all of the art from the Louvre and all of the big statues out into a hiding place. Okay, so they hid that. So when Hitler came into Paris, he was pissed that the Louvre had already been raided. But he raided Italy. Okay, he took all of their art. He took all of their money. Putin is doing the same thing to Ukraine. Okay, with the help of Belarus and with all those small countries around it, while the United States sits back like this. Okay. While Canada, while Britain, all of the democratic countries sit back like this and we're just going to watch with a watchful eye. The same way all of the Western territories sat back and watched the genocide that was happening over in Africa. You know, the West loves to tell every other country how they should run their countries. But when they follow the democratic principles that the United States is the chief designer of, well, should be, then when something goes down with those neighboring dictatorships and they decide to get invaded, the U.S. likes to sit back and say, well, we're going to wait and see what happens. Well, you already know what's going to happen. They blow women and children up. They don't care. So the song is almost over. I'm about to go through my intro. So hopefully you've gotten your lunch snack at your desk. You got your headphones in. You're ready to go ahead and get this little bit of a history. Now that you got the background to the foreground to the future ground that I'm going to give in the show, you got to be ready. Because when you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And it's a good thing that your favorite radio DJ is both a historian and a politician. Yes, I have a degree in history from Texas A&M and a degree in political science. And what I tell you, you need to be listening to. Because the world as we know it is always affected, even though things are happening abroad millions of miles away. We don't have to speak the language. We just have to know that those countries are on our side. So when you don't treat your, and when you, it's kind of like this. If you go to a nightclub and you got a crew with you, 45 seconds. If you got your girl crew, your guy crew with you, and a fight breaks out with one of the people in your crew, what you going to do? You going to sit back and say, well, we're going to give him some sanctions while you get your butt beat. That's essentially what's happening. Imagine having your own gang or crew, and then one person starts getting beat up by the other gang, and everybody sits back and watches, and we'll figure out how to help you later. Ready?
Yes.
Let me get my first story up. So, can you close that door, Eric? All the way. So, I hope you all have liked that little precursor to the show for today, and we're about to be counted down to go live. Our Wi-Fi is a little sketchy this morning. Uh-oh. Is that my headphones or is that the station?
You're good. That's the station.
That's what?
That's the station.
We're having technical issues.
There we go.
Hello
and good morning, 95.3
listeners. I love my show intro, y'all. It is so dope. I have the best show intro. I forgot my Jill this morning. Come on now. It's chopping up in my headphones, so what I'm going to do is I'm trying to go to the left ear just a little bit, because the sketchiness is going to mess me up. Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm used to saying good morning, because my show is normally from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the afternoon. But today I'm here for your lunchtime. So hopefully you've already got your sandwich and your cookies and your milk at your desk and you're ready to listen to me with your headphones on, because I'm going to be dropping a whole lot of knowledge on you today. Yes, we are at war. So we need to, I'm saying we in the plural sense, we meaning the democratic regime of government is at war on the other side of the world, and the democratic regime of government is losing. That would be Ukraine. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the West and the Western powers and the powers that have democratic governments have failed the Ukraine. I'm calling it like it is today. So before I get onto the gossip, I'm going to go ahead and get you with a little bit of what's going on in the major news. All right, Kanye will still be here after 10 minutes of talking about what's going on in the world. So whether or not you are a socialist, a communist, a democratic form of government or a totalitarian form of government, it matters today. Because right now, I stayed up all night listening to the news to watch what was going to happen with Ukraine. And I'm going to give you just a teeny bit of background to the foreground. I'm going to assume you don't have a degree in history or political science like I do. So that being said, I'm going to talk to you like I talked to my daughter, Kennedy. She's 13 years old, who has not taken world history. So this is how I'm going to break it down to you. I want to remind you all that what we are seeing now out of Vladimir Putin is nothing that we have not already seen before, actually before my lifetime, back in the 1930s and 40s with Adolf Hitler. Let me draw the parallel for you very clearly. If you know your geography just a little bit, I'm going to put this in certain terms so that you can understand. The United States of America is flanked to its north and its south by Canada and Mexico. All right. We don't have anybody to our east or west. We're surrounded by water on those sides. So just imagine if Canada on Thursday at 5 o'clock in the morning decided to go ahead and shoot missiles into the United States military forces all across the United States. What if they did one at Fort Bragg, Fort Hood, and in Maryland and in DC, everywhere? If they did that as a neighboring country, they are now invading a sovereign nation. Okay. So when you have the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, when you think about NATO, this is a group of democratic governments. Well, actually, somewhat democratic governments, because I don't even really believe the United States is as much of a democracy, because we don't have one person, one vote. You know that since the Electoral College likes to select our presidents in the United States, one person, one vote only goes to who gets the Electoral College votes. So we're really not a democracy. We're more of like a pseudo democracy in the United States. I'm just trying to break it down with the real knowledge. So we're not a bunch of liars over here on this show. So the pseudo democracy of the United States likes to tell other democracies how to run their country, how to make sure that they always have a safe and smooth regime change. Okay. And regime change matters. That's why in January 6th with our insurrection, it put the United States on notice that our way of doing a regime change does not always work effectively, especially when we have a United States Constitution that writes out specifically how you're supposed to, how leaders are supposed to change power and how the administration is always supposed to give off the reins to the new party that's in control or the new leaders that are in control. Or in the case of Barack Obama, if you're going to serve two terms, how the same people stay in power for 8 years. So over there in the United States, in the USSR, remember, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic is what Russia broke off from, Ukraine, Belarus, and other countries broke away from after the Soviet Union collapsed. Now, if you recall way back then in the Reagan days, I think that was the 80s. I think I was in elementary school, but I was still watching the news with my parents. Anyway, the Boris Yeltsin, Mikhail Gorbachev, he was the leader of the USSR at the time when we were in the midst of a Cold War, when there was a wall in Germany separating the East from the West. I don't know if you remember how the wall got there in the first place, but after World War II, well, let me take you back to World War I because I like World War I. It's very fascinating because it looks like we're about to be at World War III. Anyway, back to World War I. For those of you who need this little bit of history lesson, I'm going to give you 2 minutes of this. In World War I, Germany lost. Germany considered itself a superpower. Germany was a democratic government at the time, okay? They had democratically elected leaders just like we do, kind of. So Germany made it its mission to roll over its neighboring states to try to enlarge its territory. So it went into sovereign state nation states, took them over. And then after Europe, the rest of Europe, Britain, and after the United States realized that, it looks like Germany is making their way so much so that they're taking all the free territories. That's when the British Army really muscled up and started pushing back the Germans, all right? Well, that embarrassing loss on behalf of Germany, okay, was something that Adolf Hitler never really could get his head around, okay? Adolf Hitler at the time was just a loser, just a regular old Joe. He was just a hater. He didn't like that his country, they started off being so ferocious and then they lost the war miserably. And when you lose the war, you also lose all of the monies and the territories behind it. So once they lost the war, then Germany lost everything, all right? Then Hitler came to power. He decided, okay, Germany for the Germans. We hate the Jews and all the people, white people fell in line. Okay, we hate them too. That's how they do over there. They get in your brain, talk all this nationalism with all this hate speech. Then everybody who hears the hate speech pretends it's really not hate speech. Britain was like, oh, it's really not hate speech. It's just all right. It's just freedom of speech. And the U.S., what do we do? Oh, it's really not hate speech. It'll be all right. Hitler doesn't mean anything by it. He's never going to get that much power. Well, Hitler ran for Congress and he lost. Then he ran again because in that 2-year time period, he was able to go ahead and have a lot of these little speak outs where he was talking to the little small factions of people to get them to become more nationalist in their thinking. Then he rose to power. He won the next election. His mentor was basically the vice president of the party at the time. His mentor passed away and decided to let Hitler come into his position in his stead. So he wasn't elected to be the vice chancellor, vice premier, whatever they call it formally. He wasn't elected. He was selected by appointment. Well, he used that power to rewrite the rules of the administration of justice in Germany. So all of these things, he has all this power. He rewrites all of these rules. And while he's rewriting the rules, what the rest of the Germans are thinking like, that's interesting. Can he really do that? Can we really do that? We really don't know. But since he's the vice chancellor, I guess he can. Well, what happens? Hitler then runs for president. While he's running for president, he's speaking all this nationalist talk. He wins the election. But what people didn't pay attention to was as vice chancellor, he wrote all these new rules. That when he won for when he ran for president and he won, that same week that he was elected, the Capitol building was blown up into bits and pieces. Just imagine DC, the Capitol, on fire, everything's burned to the ground. Hitler made a speech the very next morning and blamed it on basically the opposing party, saying that he found that there were treasonous people that were mad that he won the election and that they all are responsible for the demise of the government and that they all meant to kill everybody that won. So what happened? He said, now, because of that, we need to invoke martial law. Y'all know what martial law is? I act like I'm talking to Kennedy. Martial law is when all the rules are all bets off. There's no more ruling country. There are no more rules. Every man for himself. If you got a gun, go shoot somebody so you can stay alive. Survival of the fittest. Those who are not fit do not survive. That's what martial law means. Military rule of everything. The military will come to your house and say, hey, we need all your food. We got to put all your food and rations in one pantry. And if you don't want it, all of your due process rights are out the door. All of it's gone. All of your rights are gone. So what happened was Hitler put that into place. And then he said, if you are a part of the party that opposed me, you're responsible. So now you're going to be executed. Well, he had everybody executed. And then he said, if you are sitting in this government, he did this from the podium at let's say he was speaking to Congress when it was a two-party situation. So while he is speaking, the naysayers stood up. and said, hold on, Hitler. You can't say that we're responsible for that. And what did Hitler do? He said, well, according to the rules, anybody who is not a party of my party no longer has their office. You didn't read the new administrative rules that I wrote out there a couple of years ago? Were you asleep at the wheel? Yes, they were asleep at the wheel. So he had the police take them out of the chambers. So then all of, basically, that would be like the Republicans saying all the Democrats got to go. So all the Democrats marched out, stripped of their titles, sent home. And then the people of the winning party, which is Hitler's party, had to listen to Hitler speak this nationalist hate speech from the pulpit with his bully microphone as the president of Germany. All right. So now you have Germany. That's a one party state, one party in power, one ruler for life. No more elections, because why do you need elections when there's only one party? There are no more term limits. There's no more one person, one vote. There's a ruler for life until he dies, and that ruler will select the next ruler on his death. So in an instance, the democracy as they knew it, the Democrats as they knew their democracy to be, was collapsed by one person. Putin is doing the same thing. You don't believe me? Watch this. Putin worked for the KGB at the time when Gorbachev was the ruler, all right? That's the leader who had the red dot on his forehead. He was a massive alcoholic, okay? That was the problem. And because of his alcoholism, he gave lots of speeches with slurred speech. Half the time, he didn't know what he was talking about. Putin thought that he was a loser because Putin was a part of the KGB at the time. And basically, the Secret Service hated their own leader. They felt like their leader was cowering down to the British and cowering down to the Americans, which he kind of was, because he was trying to make a deal, trying to find peace. He was trying to end the Cold War. So what happens? They decided at that moment that they were going to break bread and make friends. We have NATO. Then it's like, okay, we're going to all have peace. Everybody's going to be friendly. And so now we're going to say the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic is going to be broken apart. Those independent nation states that were annexed from a long time ago, you guys get to have your independence. One of them was Ukraine. Then there was Belarus. So you have to look at all the little territories around Russia. So Russia lost much land mass, okay? Kind of like if you look at the map of China and how large China is, and if China lost Taiwan and Taiwan was given its independence and sovereign immunity from everything as their own government, then China would be upset, because that'd be like 1/4 of their territory gone, where they don't have that money to bank on. Because remember, China's communist rule. So communist in rule, that means all their money is the leader's money. He's the leader for life. So that's what's happened over there. So what Vladimir Putin is doing is trying to recreate the USSR. He wants the Soviet Union to be recreated and take all of those surrounding territories that were broken apart by the deal that was made when they broke up the, when they had the, basically the treaty. So all of those countries were once Russian, and now Putin is trying to get them back. Here's the problem that I have with the Western leaders. Okay. If you don't recall what happened in Africa a long time ago, when they were having genocides break out from the Tutsis, I'm not gonna go into all the different tribes were warring for decades in Africa, in different countries inside of the continent of Africa. All right, so you had genocides on every border that were occurring, and you could see women and children being sliced with machetes. Okay, that were funded by the oligarchs in Nigeria that wanted to basically get revenge on the Tutsi and the Hutu, whoever side they were on, they wanted to help get revenge. So they were slaughtering men, women, and children. And these were territories that had democratic governments. But the United States and its leaders failed to invoke the magic word to be able to send Western aid. The magic word was genocide. No president would use the word genocide when talking about the murderous rampage that was happening in different countries in Africa. Okay? So if the murderous language, if you're seeing the murders, you're seeing dead bodies, you're seeing people beheaded, you're seeing babies with their limbs chopped off, you see all of this violence that's being televised, you see all of this put on blast on the BBC and CNN, MSNBC, all of the national and international airwaves. And we're just sitting and watching. The United States doesn't do anything, but what they do, they send grains of rice and drop it from the airplanes on high into the fields to the Africans. What can you do with some grain? What can you do with grains of rice? I'm sorry. That's USAID for Africa did more aid for Africa when the Africans were starving than the United States did when they were facing genocide across the country. So here's what I expect to happen with the United States. We are watching Vladimir Putin invade Ukraine. We sat back as the United States. Now, I already did the World War I lesson for y'all to show you how Hitler came to power. Now I'm moving on to World War II. Oh, but before that, I'm going to cut to commercial because we're actually filming this today, you guys, for iHeartRadio. So you're going to get more of this. We're going to go ahead and cut to a song real quick so we can break this up. So, but when we come back, you're going to hear about World War II. Now, I told you why Hitler was upset about World War I, that his country lost so miserably. World War II is when Hitler is the president. Now, remember, it's a one-party state. When Hitler takes over, he's a dictator. He can now change from democracy, say, y'all don't need to vote on anybody. I'm in for life, just like Trump was trying to do. You know, Trump loves dictators. He loved Kim Jong-un. He loved Vladimir Putin. And as a matter of fact, he had Putin's back so much during his presidency, you would have thought that it was treasonous behavior, but nobody decided they wanted to do anything about it. And since Joe Biden came into power, he's been such a wuss that he hasn't done anything for voting rights, and he hasn't done anything as far as what's going on over there in Ukraine either. But anyway, I'm going to digress, but let me go ahead and cut to commercial. That was good, right?
Go on, baby.
So you guys enjoying this history lesson? I hope you're liking it. So I'm recording this for iHeartRadio. Your girl's about to go national. Yes, she is. So we're going to try to, I try to always give you some context when I have harsh things to say about my own government, because you need to know that I'm not a hater on my country. It's just that I believe that the United States of America, when you have school boards that are voting to take away the true history of America, well, that's my job to go ahead and keep us educated in how we are here in this position that we're in our country, when we sat back and watched other countries get obliterated, and we're always having these peace agreements that mean absolutely nothing. Monetary sanctions mean nothing to a dictator who's only interested in land grabs. Do you hear me? Monetary sanctions mean nothing, especially when Vladimir Putin has stolen hundreds of millions of dollars for his own pocket, the same way Hitler stole hundreds of millions of dollars for his own pocket. At the time that he died, he had money buried all over the country, in the countryside. So, one song. Let me get a drink. So, when you see Putin is taking a page out of Hitler's playbook, rightfully so. That's the only way to ensure that we have World War III. And, you know, historians did not like to talk about, they didn't want to call World War I. They didn't label it until they had the Second World War. And it looks like Putin is going to probably launch a cyber attack as well as a military attack on Ukraine. Because, you know, he's did all those attacks on the United States government already when he shut down our social media. That's good. That's good hearing. I'm getting in my both sides, too.
You're listening to Attorney Diane Zamora on 95 Free Jams.
Okay, everybody, we're back. And so I was giving you the background to the foreground for the world wars that we've already had. So let me take you to World War II. In World War II, Hitler was the president. I don't know if he called himself the president, but whatever it is, he presided over Germany. So at that time, he was more of a militaristic leader. He believed in military control of everything for the government. And that's usually how, if you look at other countries like Cuba and other countries, even in Brazil, typically when they don't have a democratic society that runs the government, and even some countries in Africa, they have coup d'etats is their main method of changing power. A coup d'etat basically means a hostile takeover of one government by the new administration that wants to take over. For example, when Saddam Hussein came into power, I don't know if you remember how he did. Saddam Hussein, when he decided he wanted to take power, they did a massive coup, and he basically went and executed everybody at the Capitol. He just shot them all dead and said, okay, I'm the new leader. And that's one of the things that you have to have as a true dictator, is a thirst for blood and no fear of any type of I guess, threat from outside forces. You have to be bout it. You have to be basically a gangster. And Hitler was a gangster because Hitler was such a gangster that even though Germany was small, Germany under his control decided, number one, they were going to go ahead and go into war because Hitler wanted to recapture all of those then independent nations that were lost by his government after they lost World War One. After World War One ended, that is when the governments that were on the winning side decided to break up Germany and pick and pull from it what territories they wanted to control. And so that's how Germany became much smaller. It's the same thing that happened to the Soviet Union. So when the Soviet Union was broken apart, not by necessarily a specific war, but by the collapse of the Soviet Union when Gorbachev decided to enter into the peace agreement, that's when they lost territory. So taking you back to World War II, when Hitler did it, Hitler first took over Poland. Poland neighbored Germany, if you look at your geography maps. Poland was a neighboring state of Germany, so that was the closest. Poland was like, hey, we hear that Hitler thinks that he's going to come over here and try to ransack us. Britain, we need some help. United States, we need some help. France, we need some help. Is anybody going to help us? We see that Hitler looks like he's getting his armies ready. They're actually at our neighboring state. They're at the border. They've got guns pointed at us. They've got military tanks pointed at us. We don't understand what's happening. Are y'all going to send us some help out here on these front lines to defend our country against this dictator who's trying to take us over? Are y'all going to get sanctions? What happened? Sanctions. The United States says, okay, we'll impose sanctions. No more banking can be done to hold German money for Adolf Hitler. Well, we already know how that happened. J.P. Morgan Chase decided to go ahead and break that rule and secretly hid all of the hundreds of millions of dollars that Hitler decided to deposit in Chase Bank. If you have a Chase Bank account, it's steeped in anti-Semitism and racism and Nazi sympathy. So you might want to close your accounts. I'm just saying. No bad to you, Chase, but that's how you did. You went along. If you're a Jewish person that has a bank account at Chase Manhattan Bank, you should probably pull your money out and go somewhere else. If you're just a regular commoner person, just go find another bank. I'm sure there's a nice Jewish bank you can put your money in, as long as it's not the bank of Bernie Madoff. Because if you didn't hear, his brother-in-law had a murder-suicide last week. His sister killed herself and killed her husband and killed herself. I guess the Madoff clan is all the way down. Because remember, both of his sons, Bernie Madoff, he's long dead. But Bernie Madoff, his son committed suicide at the age of 48. And with a scathing suicide note to his father saying that you're the reason for all of the collapse of our family. And his other son died of cancer at the age of 48. So his two sons died at the age of 48. And then his sister, who I believe was 84 years old and her husband was 90 years old, they both did a murder-suicide last week in Florida. Anyway, moving back to World War II. When Germany invaded Poland, the U.S. and Britain sat back and watched. Canada sat back and watched. All the democratic governments sat back and watched. Then, after he mowed down Poland and started committing genocide against all the Jewish people there, then, after he took over Poland, he decided to head to France. He went over to France, and then I guess the French were like, okay, French, we need to figure out we don't have enough arms to defend ourselves against Germany because they look like they've been gearing up to fight us for years. United States, are you going to help us? Britain, are you going to help us? The U.S. said, no, you're on your own, but we do love you. We are friends and allies. You're a democracy like we are. We wish you well. We'll just sit back here and watch. And then Britain did the same. The Queen said, okay, well, no. We believe that y'all should just use your own guns first. We understand y'all are democracy. We understand that y'all are part of the NATO alliance. We understand that. But we're just going to sit back here and watch. And we'll impose some of those financial sanctions as well. Now, I don't know how many Nazi sympathizers there were in Britain. But I do know for sure that two of the Queen's relatives, who are dukes and duchesses of other countries under her rule, are Nazi sympathizers. Do you all remember when Meghan Markle was just dating Prince Harry? And they had an engagement party. Well, to one of the engagement parties, one of the white German women, who I believe she's like a countess of something, countess of whatever, countess of hatred, she wore her Nazi pin. All right? She wore her Nazi pin to the engagement party. So we do have Nazi sympathizers that are part of the royal family, just like we had Nazi sympathizers that are over here in the United States when it came to J.P. Morgan Chase, who actually hid the money for Adolf Hitler. We also had kings of the industry in the motor industry in the United States. I don't remember whether or not it was Daimler, Ford. I don't think it was Henry Ford. I think it was another car manufacturer, which was very friendly to Hitler, Nazi sympathizers, funding him with all that he needed as far as Jeeps and tankers to go and mow that. See, Germany was not able to manufacture all of their war vehicles like they needed to as fast. They needed the American lines. It was Ford and General Motors. Both were Nazi sympathizers. So they were helping Hitler mow down France with their tanker trucks and mow down Poland with their tanker trucks. And so when you think about it, it's the same thing that's happening now. There has to be a reason why, if we sit back, what happened when you sit back and you watch another country that's supposed to be your friend gets mowed down, it's just like going to a club. You know, when you have your friends with you, you're feeling all fly, you're rolling 10 deep to the club. You're there to have a good time, lipstick popping, hair braids shining, everything. You go to the club, and there's always some other hater crew around there that's a little bit hatery. They're not as cute as your crew. They're not as fly as your crew. They're not buying out the bar like your crew is, for those people who drink, because I don't drink. But anyway, I used to buy out the bar. But you got somebody in your crew that gets slapped upside the head by one of the haters in the other crew. Now, there's three things you can do. Number one, you can sit back and watch and observe and just say, we'll see if it gets really bad. See if she needs our help. Number two, you can impose monetary sanctions by going to get the manager and telling them to say, to kick them out. That would be like a sanction. Or number three, you can boss up and go to punching and call it a war and have your girls back. Well, that's the short way I could put it about what's happening in Ukraine right now. You've got the Ukrainian people on social media trying to get messages out there when Russia has already committed a cyber attack and shut down all of their airwaves. You've got the Russian President Vladimir Putin sending in tankers and missiles and helicopter bombs and raids to their country at 5 o'clock in the morning while the people are still asleep, blowing up their military bases, trying to destroy their social infrastructure, trying to ensure that their military is not able to get its arms up. And what did their president say? Hey, we have the people, we have the numbers, but we don't have the ammunition. We don't have the guns. We don't have the tanker trucks. Well, Ford and GM, I'm sure they might be Russian sympathizers since they used to be Nazi sympathizers. They have no problem with oligarchs. So I would be hesitant to think that the United States would send any arms because, you know, we have a weak president right now. Our weak president didn't think it was important enough to go ahead and ensure voting rights by executive order. So he's been in office for 2 years. And so now we have a regime change that's about to occur. On March the 1st, we have different primary elections happening across the country where you will pick your Democrat or your Republican or your Green Party or your Libertarian person to run or your independent person to run in the general election that's going to be in November. But what's going to the problem with that is when we have our general election and we have a regime change in the Congress, it's going to be evident because we have 30 Democrats that are leaving Congress this time. They are not seeking reelection. So when you have 30 Democrats leaving, then, and we've had more Democrats in office in Congress at this point than any other time in the last three presidents, then you have to wonder, with those Democrats gone, what's going to happen to Congress? Well, we can already see what's going to happen. It's going to be the same thing that happened under President Barack Obama, where all they did was stifle all of his ability to grow. Well, anyway, back on the war, when we think about what's happening in Ukraine and we look at Vladimir Putin, I don't believe that the United States should take option one, which is sit back and look passively while your girlfriend's getting her head beat up. I think that it should be a combination of option two and option three, financial sanctions and bombs. Drop some bombs on Russia because no other country has the cojones to get it done unless America makes the first move. Now, let me tell you how slow to act the United States has been traditionally. In World War II, once Hitler took over France and looted out everything he could from the French museums. He tried to loot the Louvre Museum, but he couldn't get to it fast enough. They snuck all of the ancient artifacts, all the paintings and all of the statues that are there today. They snuck them all out 3 days before Hitler's invasion. So Hitler was pretty upset about that. But the United States and Great Britain sat back and watched, knowing that we were the two superpowers who could have stopped Hitler from doing that. So Germany took over France and held the German flag up in the middle of Paris, France, okay? He held the German flag up in the middle of Poland as well. And that's when he started extraditing all the Jews and sending them out to concentration camps. Well, but then whenever a dictator sees another dictator able to amass the countries and able to go in with nothing happening outside from our Western leaders, then it incites the other countries that are led by dictators to say, hey, Maybe we should just go ahead and annex those countries that are next to us as well. Because it looks like the U.S. and Great Britain aren't going to do anything. You know how they do, pussyfooting around all the time. Sitting back like, let me just wait till something major happens. Well, what happened? The Japanese, they were feeling so invigorated by watching Hitler take over France and Poland like boom, like a steamroller, that they felt invigorated to take out the United States. And on December 7th of 1941, the Japanese invaded and bombed Pearl Harbor right there on the coast of Hawaii. All right. So the Japanese invasion of Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941 is the only reason the United States stepped into the war of World War II to stop Adolf Hitler from mowing down all the neighboring countries. All right. That's the only reason. But for bringing war to the U.S. soil, there would have been no entry into World War II by the United States. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, that's when the Queen and the British Parliament decided to go ahead and step into the war because they realized now America was at war. We're not at war right now for Ukraine. The United States, for all of its lip service, for all of NATO, if you got a chance to listen, they had an emergency meeting last night. I believe it was maybe 10 o'clock our time, midnight on the other side of the world. But they had a meeting last night where you had all of the diplomats that were there. And it was nice to see a black woman representing the United States. I was very proud to see that, you know, Biden made a good choice in who he had representing our country. But when you look at what was said, you know, we've been getting the Ukrainian ambassador basically told the Russian ambassador, you're full of crap and you're a liar. They had a showdown at the UN, the United Nations. They put the Ukrainian ambassador told the Russian ambassador, there is no purgatory for war criminals. They go straight to hell. Now, speaking of war crimes, the United States, we've committed a few war crimes. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We all know that, you know, in Iraq, we did a whole lot of war crimes. We were the ones that were going to tell you, don't commit war crimes over there, but we'll do them over here as long as it's on U.S. soil. The war crimes and the atrocities that were committed by Germany after World War II is basically what the Ukrainian ambassador is basically imploring onto the Russian ambassador, where he's saying, you are just like the Germans, how they did the Nazis, and you're committing a war crime. Here's the problem when it comes to war crimes. When they had the Nuremberg war crimes trials for the Germans that were a part of the Third Reich, the Luftwaffe, you know, the German military regime, that they were put on trial for all these murders. Many of them were executed, and, you know, a lot of them, they were all found guilty of the war crimes. But it was the first time in the history of the world that all of the countries got to put these people on trial, and executions and you know, prison sentence were had. But what people don't realize is that many of those high-ranking men in the German military that were part of Hitler's regime defected to the United States and became U.S. citizens under color of darkness. The United States was able to sneak them into our country, help them change their names, and then give them United States citizenship and passports and full rights as American citizens, never to pay for their crimes. Now, I know that they don't like to talk a lot about that, but that's what we do over here in our country. We always need to be aware of the country that we live in and how it began and how it will end. Every democracy, we are a very young world. We 200 years old. 225 years old is the United States of America. So we're about 200 and something years old, our democracy is very, very young. The German democratic government was very young at the time. How?
244.
Yeah, I'm kind of smart. 244 years old is how old this country is. And a lot of democracies, they make it to a couple of hundred years and then they collapse. Now, we've always put forth that we want to protect other democracies across the country. But what I've seen thus far is that democratic countries, because they are run in a democratic way, they have to go through a lot of red tape and a lot of bureaucracy just to go to be able to launch a missile to help another democracy defend itself. So we have to go through acts of Congress. We have to pass, you know, we have to go through all this executive orders and all these things. Congress has to vote to support blah, 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 blah. But when you have countries like Germany, when Hitler took over, said, well, I've rewritten all the rules and I'm the one that's in charge of everything. Or when you have Russia, where Vladimir Putin, he always pretends that he has a democratically elected government, but he doesn't. He usually either murders the opponent, has them back up out of the race, or does something to silence them for life. So when you have that type of dictatorship, that's why when Americans are on television, I'm listening to Biden and everybody say, we need to send a message to the Ukrainian people that we support you and that we have your backs. No, we don't. They're like, we are getting our heads beat in. I need you to have my back by sending some guns and weapons. I need you to launch a missile because we don't have enough people. They have thousands of people that are now trying to flee the country. All of the lip service that has been given by our president and the British president, prime minister, and all the other countries and NATO and the UN, all the lip service is doing nothing. Vladimir Putin does not care about economic sanctions. I repeat, Vladimir Putin does not care about economic sanctions. He is only concerned with building back the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, the former USSR, to its former greatness that it had. And the only way to do that is by annexing the once territories of the USSR. He needs to get back all of those little countries that broke away and became independent. The only way to do that is to drop bombs and kill people and take over. This is just like colonization. Okay. The same way the United States was able to colonize St. Thomas, colonize St. John and all the saints out there. The same way the U.S. was able to basically colonize Puerto Rico is the same way we need to focus on the United States when it's to our benefit. We like to colonize other territories when the people are brown. We have no problem. So why not take one for the team and join in the fight for Ukraine? Have you guys seen how large Ukraine is? It's like larger than Texas. And Texas is the second largest state in the Union, California being the largest as far as landmass. So when you look at how much territory Putin seeks to gain control over, if he gets Ukraine, then he gets the USS to pay these bills. And I'm going to go ahead and then double back and give you just a little bit of tea before we have our guests come in later on in the show. You like that? How'd y'all like that? Y'all like a little bit of history and a little bit of political news? I know y'all came on here to listen to the gossip and the tea, but I couldn't give you the tea this early in the morning. I was too caught up in my wartime brain. I did my senior paper in high school on the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial because I'm a dork. Mm-hmm. I did my paper. I remember everything about it. It was the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial, just hearing all the countries and all the jurists were talking about how to deal with these people who committed genocide. What I'm waiting for is a war crimes tribunal to be in panel for all of the genocide that was happening over in Africa. It seems like whenever there are European looking people that are being, whose rights are abridged, or Jewish people who are also European looking people whose rights are abridged, we have no problem having war crimes trials because we're so appalled that so many European looking people could have been genocided. Well, what happened to all the babies and children? What happened to all the people that were murdered in Rwanda? What happened to the war crimes tribunal being in panel for that? What I recall is the United States' stance on all of that was going on in black kingdoms was we don't want people from those S-hole countries coming to our country. Why can't people from Norway and Switzerland come to the United States? That's what our white last president said before this white president. This white president is basically just being inactive. He's just a passive president. He's not a war president. And I remembered on September 11th when the planes went into the buildings at the towers in New York, I remember going to my parents' house in Arlington, and my dad had the American flag. He put out the flag because, you know, my dad's former military. He retired. But he said, you know, he was happy that at the time, even though we voted for a Democrat to be the president, he voted for a Democrat to be the president. He was happy that George Bush Jr. was the president at the time because we needed a wartime president, a president who wasn't afraid to flip the switch, a president who wasn't afraid to go drop some bombs on people. And George Bush was dropping bombs, even though George Bush dropped bombs on the wrong country now, you know, because of Dick Cheney. I can go into that a little bit of that. I'm going to that on the show. Huh? No, I'm going to go on. Yeah. Because I got to talk about why I diss. I'd like to diss President Biden. Somebody's got to. I have good hearing now. Okay. I was just testing out my headphones. Yeah, so you have to always be aware that whenever you have governments in power, you have to see how they got there, what makes their democracy work, what makes their citizens fall in line to dictatorships. And we see it's military rule. When you have military regimes like they do in third, they call them third world countries. When the military takes over, what are you supposed to do with the guns? That's why the Second Amendment is so protected by white America here, because they're always ready for an insurrection. They're always ready for the South to rise again. They're always ready to make sure they can burn down the Capitol so they can put black people back in slaves and send Mexicans back to their home. I'm just trying to tell you. So I'm going to give you some hard truths about what's happening in the United States and how, you know, if you're black, if you're brown, if you are red, if you are yellow, you have no place in the United States of America that people care about. So you have to always be cognizant. If you don't own a gun, I suggest you go buy one. There's a reason why people want to protect the Second Amendment. Okay, so back on in 15 minutes. Okay, here we go. I'm going on. What I'll leave off with? Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. All right, everybody, welcome back. So I hope you've enjoyed your brief history lesson and your political science lesson about the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial. During the break, I was telling my listeners that stream me live that, you know, I did my senior paper on the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials in high school. And so I've always been fascinated with politics and young democracies. And when I took a philosophy class at Texas A&M University in College Station, you know, my philosophy was based on what makes the philosophy, which type of governmental rule is better than the other. Is it better to have a socialist government, better to have a democracy, better to have a totalitarian regime? Is it better to have a dictatorship? Is it better to have a communist government? We don't know. We like to say that democracy is good when democracy is effective. But like I said earlier in the show, the United States is not a true democracy like it expects other countries to be true democracies. And when the United States historically has been upset with democratically elected presidents in other countries, take, for instance, Saddam Hussein. When you had Saddam Hussein, who rose to power, he rose to power and did a coup d'etat, which was sanctioned by the United States government. So there was already a person in power before Saddam Hussein. So the U.S. had Saddam's back. When Saddam actually took military control over Iraq, that's when the United States starts barking orders at Saddam Hussein about what he should do with his country. And Saddam, being the gangster that he is, like, hold on now. I'm the new king in town. I am the ruler of Iraq, and I am Middle Eastern, and I am brown. You white man over there in the West, you got me here in power, but you need to stay in your lane. Don't come over to my country where we believe in God first and you believe in whatever first and tell me how to rule. Well, the U.S. didn't like that. So when the United States was upset that Saddam Hussein was not going to pay attention to what the United States wanted him to do as a leader, another sovereign nation. See, here's the thing. Sovereign. Sovereignty means it's just kind of like your country gets to do what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, and no other country can tell it what to do or how to do it or when to do it or why to do it. Saddam Hussein, the United States helped him get to power. And then when he nucked, if you buck, for lack of a better phrase, when he bucked, the United States was like, okay, we're not your friend anymore. As a matter of fact, we're going to give you economic sanctions. You're not going to trade oil with us and give us what we want on the barrel, because if you all didn't pay attention, gas prices are high today. Did you go fill up your gas tank? Well, oil is now trading at $100 a barrel. That's what it was yesterday. You know, I watch everything about the markets. So oil, before we were at, what, $64 a barrel? Now it's at $100 a barrel. So it's much more expensive for the gasoline companies to import the oil that we're getting from all these other countries. Do you understand that? So goes the price of oil. But what did our president do here in the United States of America? Failed to increase the minimum wage. What did he do in the United States of America? Failed to go ahead and extend that child tax credit that we needed for our children after the pandemic. What else did he fail to do? He failed to wipe out our student loan debt. What did he do? He failed to give women equal money for equal pay. I mean, equal pay for equal work. He failed in all of those things that would have made us be able to survive a $45 fill up for our gas tanks that used to cost $29. He failed to do those things at the kitchen table that we needed. Instead, he was working on building bridges and roads. But if you're not going to pay people enough to build the bridges and the roads, why should they work for you in the first place? Have you noticed that in the United States, people are not going back to work for the man on the plantation? Now people are going back to work for themselves. realizing you're not even going to make what you're worth anywhere working on the plantation. For those of you who are my white listeners out there, the plantation is where all black people used to work. Right out there, it used to be called Sienna Plantation right out here in town called Sugarland, right outside of Houston. Sugarland was Sugarland Plantation. All of the imperial sugar that you have that goes across the country that is shipped was farmed by black slaves in Sugarland, Texas. So there's a neighborhood called Sienna Plantation where all the black people all the black people live in Sienna Plantation. They lived in it when it was called a plantation. When I first moved to Houston area, because I'm from Dallas, and everybody said, oh, you need to move to Sienna Plantation. I said, why on earth would I ever, as a black woman, live on anything called a plantation? And why are y'all letting the white people keep that plantation name? Well, I guess a lot of people heard me. I chose not to live there. I live in somewhere that was never called a plantation, but I'm sure it used to be a plantation back in the day because I live in Pearland. But so now plantation has been dropped. But, you know, only because a bunch of black people live there. Anyway, going back to the plantation, if you're working on the plantation, that simply means that there is a slave master that determines how much money you're going to be able to make. Now, Joseph Biden is in the DC plantation. We are all field Negroes, okay? All of the black and brown working class of America are the field Negroes on Joseph Biden's plantation called the U.S. Capitol. All right. Joseph Biden failed to increase our wages. So even if you try to get $15 or $20 with the state of inflation as it is today, they used to say inflation is a dirty word. I don't care. Inflation is exactly what's happening. You don't have to tell me it's raining when I could just look outside and see the rain. So they don't want us to use the words inflation, but we are going through inflation when things cost more than they used to. But you have not received your increase in pay like you were promised when we got a democratically elected Democratic president, when the House is Democratic. See, we have the House and the Senate are both democratically run for the last time, I believe, for the next 8 years. Okay? So by executive order is how the slaves were freed by Abraham Lincoln. By executive order is how voting rights could have been protected by President Joseph Biden. He failed. He didn't do it. But of course, the first part of Black History Month, right before Congress leaves to go take a break for the holidays, he decides to go make a trip out to Morehouse College and make a speech. He left the plantation to go out to see the field Negroes to say, it'll all be soon. We'll get what we need soon. While you're sitting there with people in the audience that have student loan debt that are hovering over their heads for 25 and 30 years. So when you think about all the failings of our democratically elected president, how then can we expect him to step up and knuck if you buck and give aid to Ukraine? You don't have a Congress that's been able to put anything through at all. I cannot name one single bill that has been passed by the Democrats in the House and ratified by the majority senators in the U.S. Senate. Remember, do you remember how a bill becomes a law? Let me remind you. It has to be written in the House and voted on. It's sent to the Senate. It's sent as a bill, House bill, whatever, what, H.R. blank, 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 56789, sent up to the Senate. The Senate chair, who is Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, let me background you a little bit. Let me talk to you like you're my 13-year-old daughter, Kennedy. Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House determines what's going to be on the agenda as far as the rules that they're going to vote on. She sets the agenda. She should have set already voting rights, women's rights, equal pay, student loan, and whatever else that they promised us that they didn't give. She puts all of those things on the agenda. The congressmen and women go ahead and vie to have those bills passed by the House by majority. Well, the Democrats are the majority until you have two nitwits that don't in the Senate. Oh, we'll get on them later. But so when it passes in the House, there's a lot of House bills that are lying on the Senate floor waiting for the Speaker of the Senate, who is Senator Chuck Schumer, to make a move and bring the bills, the House bills, before the floor to be voted on by the Senate. So once it is voted on and approved by the Senate, that Senate bill then has to be taken to the president's desk. The president has a couple of options. He can either, one, veto the bill and say, goodbye, I don't want it, or he can sign the bill and then it becomes the law. Right now, we have a Democratic run or Democratic majority in the House, Democratic majority in the Senate. We have a Democratic president. Nothing has changed since Trump was the president. I repeat, nothing has changed since Donald Trump was the president. We have three black women that have made the running list of who to be nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States. But more than likely, Joe Biden will drag his feet on making the announcement, because yesterday we thought we were going to hear an announcement because he's already interviewed all the women. He's interviewed all the candidates, and one of them is a really brown sister like I like. I told y'all, if you listened to my last show, I needed somebody. I don't want anybody my skin color. I'm brown, but I'm not brown enough. I want somebody that looks all the way black, like there's nothing else in their life. There was nothing else in her but two black people. And two black people before them and before them and before them that made her. Well, she's the front runner in this race. So hopefully she'll be able to get the nomination. She's already been on the Court of Appeals she's already been a federal judge for the last 8 years. She served her term. She also she also serviced indigents and working for the public defender's office. I think that she represented over 200,000 indigents that could not afford counsel. So hats off to her. I hope she gets it. Her last name is, I think she's Virginia Jackson James or something like that. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But when you think about all the failings that the president has done just for the people at home, I really don't expect him to do anything, any miracle, to help the people in Ukraine. China has taken the position that they don't enter other wars for other countries. They like to mind their own business and just watch from the sideline. But I don't believe that. I believe that when we see Vladimir Putin take over Ukraine, we will see China make a move to assist neighboring Belarus. Belarus, who is a sympathizer and wants to be taken over by Russia. See, the Belarusian people are like, look here. We don't want our own country anymore. We're not thriving like we thought we could be. If Vladimir Putin gave us aid and we just became Russians, we could all be fine and just live a happy life. We're tired of all this fighting. We need to be a union again. But the other independent sovereign nations around there, they're in disagreement. But if you don't have your own ammunition, here's what I'm going to tell you about friends. You must not rely on your friends to have your back when a fight breaks out. Do you hear me? Don't rely on your girlfriends to have your back if a fight breaks out in the club, if your girlfriend does not have as much to lose as you do. If your girlfriend has a whole lot to lose by jumping in and having your back, she's not going to help you, darling. Not going to help you at all. If you are the Ukraine and the United States of America doesn't see any benefit to helping you out, or Great Britain doesn't see any benefit to helping you out. Look, the EU couldn't even keep itself together. Did y'all forget that whenever they had their regime change and they had elected their nationalist person, they broke apart the EU. So all those nations are independent European nations. They're not the United Nations of whatever. They're all independent nations. And so I really don't feel like the US or any of the other countries in the West are going to step in with arms. They're going to all just be like, bye. Good luck with that. We hope you can remain a democracy, but if Putin takes over, oh well, because we're not going to war for another country that we don't really know anything about. We're going to cut to commercial. My voice started getting a little scratchy. Y'all liking this? I know you are. I like this hour from 12 to 2, but I want to go back to 10 to 12.
Well, I wonder if you have more.
Hi, everybody.
During lunch. Oh, you live.
I'm live. I stay live. Do you want me to break this up and do two lives? I'm going to break this up. We're going to sign off on this and we're going to come right back so we can break this up. Y'all didn't know y'all were getting a history lesson today. But if you watch my show, It's Debatable with Attorney Nyanza L. Moore, you'll know that we have a guest coming in. So I'm going to, Jelanda Jones is going to be coming into the show and we're going to have a call in from Danielle Best. These are two ladies that are my sorority sister that are actually running for the Garnett Coleman 30 years held seat for state representative out in the Texas legislature. So I'm going to sign up on this live and come back on my new live screen. So come log back in. All right. Hold on. Let me let Sherelle. I don't normally do my social media because I really don't know how. I'm the content, not the technology. So Sherelle's going to come and log this up. But anyway, we have two good candidates. We're going to have a call in from Danielle Best and we're going to have a live with Jelanda. You know, Jelanda Jones. I've known Jelanda for a long time. She's always been about it for the people, and I've always liked that about her. Whenever she was on, she was one of the elected HISD school board trustees. Boy, I could barely get it out. But she was the only one that whenever they were showing how racist the Latinos were against the black people, she was the only one who called them out. The only one. So one thing about Jelanda that we don't have to worry about is her stepping up and speaking out when she sees something wrong going on. And that's what I like about her. So I'm going to let you sign me off on this, Sherelle. right now. So Sherelle's going to log me off on these lives because we will be taking some of this clip to iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio. So you can listen to your girl. I need a thumbnail. Hold on. So for the thumbnail, I had to do a freeze frame picture. I always put the Lord in my pictures. I stay prayed up, y'all.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, hold on. Is this, who is this? Sierra, yeah. I like her.
Okay, ready, hold it for 30.
Which one do I hold, Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
All right. Ready?
Hello, Danielle, this is Sherelle. Just hold on for, I'm going to have you on hold for a couple minutes. Okay, great. Hold it for 30 seconds.
3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh, I didn't know you were still counting. Okay, sorry. Okay. I see I messed it up. Sorry, start the count. How long is the count?
15 seconds.
15?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready. Count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Good.
Okay.
Now Facebook?
Yes.
Ready?
Go ahead and do your last post. I'm going to completely finish it, okay?